Hello everyone, Merry Christmas! Pastor Steve here at the Wilton Baptist Church. I hope you're doing well, had a great Thanksgiving, and there's a lot of things that we can look forward to here during the month of December. In fact, every Sunday we'll be giving something different away to each attendee and to each family. For example, this Sunday you can get your very own copy of The Case for Christmas. Please read it if you haven't, hand it to somebody, give it to someone. Also, we have a lot of new devotional books, the Days of Praise therein. So this is a daily Bible reading guide that you can use, and it'll be an encouragement to you as well. And we also have a lot of great Christmas tracks that talk about the real meaning of the season of Christmas. And so please take some of these. This one says, Thank You and Merry Christmas. And so you can give that to some folks, and it introduces people how to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that is what I would like to speak to you today from the book of John chapter 3. So if you have your Bible, please find John chapter 3. This is a message that I hope that you will share, that you'll find on Sermon Audio or Facebook and repost it and share with others what the real meaning of Christmas is. And so John chapter 3, there's this hyper-religious man. Now, there's a lot of people that are religious today, at least in their own estimation. You know, I'm more moral than the next guy, and I'm a better person than she is. And we can be religious even if a person is not religiously attending some kind of a church service or doing some kind of thing like that. But there's a lot of religious people. There's a lot of people that would say they're not religious. Maybe they say they're spiritual. And only a person who is born again truly can understand what is spiritual when it comes to the Lord. And we'll find that in our passage here today as well. So you may be spiritual. You may be very religious. You may be a-religious or not really have any religion you hold to. From this passage, I'd like to show you what Christmas is really all about and why Jesus Christ came to earth and what his gift was to humanity. And so look at this passage. Here's a man named Nicodemus. Now, I like Nick. We don't get Saint Nick from him, but people have called their children Nick after this man, Nicodemus. But there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Now, the Pharisees were hyper-religious people. So take your Bible, and look at the first five books. This is called the Pentateuch, the first five books of Moses. And I'm grabbing my Bible right here. Here are the first five books of Moses. Here's Deuteronomy. So he would have had this much of the Bible, not just have read it many times, but probably he would have had it all memorized. When you look back at what the Pharisees would have been like, and the Apostle Paul was a lot like this as well, hyper-religious. And he was a hyper-religious man. He was a ruler of the Jews, so he is high up in the scheme of Judaism, the temple worship and things that would go on, a lot of political things that were going on with that as well. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? That's a great question. He is very analytical and very thoughtful about this. You know, I'm a full-grown man. I can't become a baby again. How can this happen? How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born of water, that's the physical birth, and of the Spirit, that's the spiritual birth, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. I'd like to talk to you about this great gift that Jesus Christ came to deliver to us, and it is the gift of eternal life, being born again. We'll unpack this after we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Christmas season. It's a busy time, a lot of hustle and bustle and moving around and events and things and just a busy time of life in addition to the busyness of the season. So we do pray that everyone listening and watching, viewing this message, would sense and recognize and really know who Jesus is. And if there's one that's not yet trusted Christ, today can be their day. Not to be religious, not to be spiritual, but to be born again, to know you as their Lord and Savior. And so please help as people share this message that it would be an encouragement to introduce people to you. Thank you for your love for us, and thank you for coming to this world for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Tom Brady. Do you know the name Tom Brady? Well, several years ago, he was being interviewed after one of his many Super Bowl wins, and he told on 60 Minutes, he said, Why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey man, that's it. That's what it is. I reached my goal, my dream in life. Me, I think it's got to be more than this. I mean, this isn't, this can't be what it's all cracked up to be. That's what he said to the interviewer, Steve Croft. And Steve asked the question, what's the answer, Tom? Tom, what's the answer? He said, I wish I knew. Brady said, I wish I knew. Tom Brady has played in 6 Super Bowls. He has been at and continues to be at the pinnacle of the football world as a Super Bowl champion. 7 times over, 6 times with the New England Patriots, and just last year with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 4-time MVP for the whole league. I mean, he has succeeded. He has achieved. But he's still looking around like there's more to living than what I found. You may be living for success. You may be living a life apart from God. You may be living a life dedicated to religion. I mean, any venue of life that you could look at, if we live without Jesus, there's going to be an emptiness and a shallowness that we come up with. And that's the way that Tom Brady feels in his life. I mean, a champion. You may say, well, I'm not a champion. You're good at something. You've succeeded at something. And maybe you're trying to succeed at something. But once you get there, success isn't all the stuff and things that we accumulate and do. But it's who we are truly in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is a man named Nicodemus. He was on top of the religious world. He was a key player in the temple, in the Judaic religion in Israel. And he came to Jesus by night. Essentially, he was saying, there's got to be more to life than this. I've succeeded. I've arrived. But I still feel shallow inside. There must be more to life than what I have found. That's how Nicodemus felt. Do you feel that way? Some of you watching and listening, do you feel that way? Well, if so, this message is for you. And if you've already been born again, this message is for you to encourage you and for you to share with some other people as well. It's been called being born again, being born over, the second birth, a new birth, a rebirth. Sometimes people talk about an experience, an awakening, something that can happen to them or something that they felt. Being born again is more than a feeling. It's a fact. It's something that is legitimate and real. Kind of like when you were physically born, and there's an analogy to that in what Jesus says. When you were physically born, there was a birth date. And you were not assigned a gender. That was already determined when the DNA and genetics all come together at your conception. And they just recognize what God had already made, either male or a female. And so when you were physically born, you were born a man or a woman. And someone put on a piece of paper, documentation, here this boy or here this girl was born. Here was the date. Here was the length, how long they were, and here's their weight. here's the parents' names, etc. All that would be on that. That was your physical birth date, and it's recorded. And he makes an analogy. You know, there's going to be a water birth. The water breaks. It's a miracle. The gift of life is an absolute miracle. And he tells us here, except the man be born of water. So he's got to be physically born. He can't have eternal life. He can't be born again if he's not born to begin with. That's why it's so important that we let everyone know how valuable life is. From conception to natural death, human life is very important. And so he cannot enter into the kingdom of God except the man be born of water. This is verse 5. Look at it there. Chapter 3, John 3, verse 5. Be born of water and of the Spirit. That's the new birth. He cannot see the kingdom of God. So just like you were physically born, there's a spiritual birth date. A day, a moment in time, a moment in your history when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, if there's not been a time where you know, I believe, I wasn't believing, but now I'm believing, I was living religiously, or I was living against God, or I was living without God, but now I'm living with God in my life. I know for certain I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's when you were born again. If you've not yet prayed and accepted Jesus and believed the gospel for yourself, then you can. Today can be your spiritual birthday. I'll tell you more about how to be saved, how to be born again near the end of our message. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Your spirit lives on forever. Our bodies will die. My grandmother, in her late 90s, just died Sunday night into Monday morning. And she had been invalid in the bed for about 6 years, not able to walk or move around. Her mind lately had been fading quite a bit, and she forgot, for example, she forgot how to eat. And so that was the last couple weeks. And that's a sad thing to see somebody suffering like that. But she knew Jesus. One day, in her cognitive mind, this is before her great decline, she said, "Steve, I don't know, but I hope that all of my grandkids and great-grandkids, I think by now it's great-great-grandkids, would know the Lord." She would speak that way, "know the Lord." And she wanted them to know Christ. Now, not every Christian lives a perfect life, and we all have ups and downs and things like this, but as she was being very reflective and thinking about her life and thinking about her heritage, she wanted them to know Jesus. And I think that's a beautiful thing. She was born again at some point in her life. I'll be participating in that funeral service in just a couple of days, and so I appreciate your prayers for that. But there's going to come a time when your flesh will die. And what happens then? Well, your soul and spirit continue on. It continues on. You could study the doctrine of soteriology, the doctrine of pneumatology, that's the Holy Spirit, and also of anthropology, that's the study of man, and soteriology. All these things come together to understand that we're a three-part person. You have three pieces to you: body, soul, and spirit. And your body's going to die one day, but your soul, your spirit, will live forever. And my grandmother, by way of example, is in heaven with her God, and she's able to walk now, and she's free of pain. She's able to be with her mother, who I knew, my great-grandmother, 99 and 11 months old when she went on to heaven. And she was an amazing person as well. She would read the Bible until she couldn't see. Then she would wear out those old cassette tapes listening to Scripture. And so she gets to see her again. But the body's dead. And you've been to gravesides and funerals and things like this. So we're going to face death, but our body and soul live forever. And friends, you're going to live somewhere forever. We'll live somewhere forever. Either heaven or an eternity separated from God in a real place, a tragic, terrible place called hell. Nicodemus knew all about heaven and hell, but he didn't know how to get there. There must be more. There must be more. I'm missing something. What must I do? What am I missing? Jesus said, you must be born again. Now, two truths I'd like to share with you with this passage, with Nicodemus in mind, that I hope will help you, because you need a spiritual birth. You need a spiritual birth. Life is possible because of the death of Jesus. Eternal life is possible because of the death of Jesus. Now, we're going to physically die, but you can have eternal life. Notice as the passage continues, beginning in verse 9, or actually, let's go to verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou canst tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So we can't understand or explain all the things, how the Holy Spirit's working in one person's life. But, he said, he comes and goes. So everyone that is born of the Spirit, so he'll come and live inside of them. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master in Israel? It means you're a teacher. You're one of the higher ups in the Judaic religion here in Israel. And thou knowest not these things? Verily, verily, he means truly. It's like when someone says, honestly, I want you to know this. I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Jesus said, a lot of people are rejecting what I've been talking about, but I've just been talking about truth. If I have told you of earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? He continues, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Jesus said, I left heaven to come here. He said, you all aren't going up to heaven to find out about me. I came down here to tell you about God the Father and how to have forgiveness of sin and how to be born again. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus says, you can't go up to heaven and then learn about salvation and come back and tell us about it. But I came from heaven to this earth, and if I be lifted up, like Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness, he took a serpent, and it was something that God had done as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to be crucified on an old rugged cross. And Jesus is foretelling of his crucifixion when he's talking to Nicodemus. He said, I'm going to be lifted up, and I'm going to die on a cross. That's what he is talking about. So that whosoever believeth can live. So that they can have eternal life. Not physical life, but eternal life. Not that our physical lives will continue, but that we have a spiritual life, that we're quickened or made alive or born again. Being born again, a spiritual birth. So Jesus had to die. He died so that we could live. Our sin causes our death. Original sin is the reason people suffer disease and sickness and ultimately death. When Adam and Eve sinned and rebelled against God. Everyone, as much as I love each of you, each of us, myself included, we're all sinners, but God loved us so much, and that's what Jesus continues to tell Nicodemus about. Nick, I don't love you for your works. I don't love you for your religion. I didn't come here so that you could become more moral or have more rules or have more religious traditions in your life. I came here so that you could believe the gospel, so that you could have your sins forgiven, so that you could have a way to heaven, to have eternal life. And that's what Jesus continues to say in verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave. You see, salvation, Christianity is the greatest gift. Jesus came to give himself. God gave the Son. Jesus willingly gave himself. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So Jesus came so that we could have life, and that life is found through faith in Him. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I need to show you something that sometimes we stop reading at verse 16 because it's so amazing, and it is. But verse 17 says, God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. I mean, we already know we fall short. You just talk to anyone trying to cover up their sin, and that's the way that we are. But look at the next verse then. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. When you are born again, you're no longer condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. If you've not yet trusted Christ, you're living in a state of condemnation. And you've not yet been born again. You're going to physically die, and your body will be buried, and or cremated, or whatever you do. But your soul and your spirit will experience eternal death. Eternal death. But you don't have to experience eternal death. You can be born again. You're living in a state of condemnation because, here's the why, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Have you believed in Jesus Christ for yourself? Have you been born again? Have you confessed to Jesus? And you could pray like this. Have you ever prayed this way? God, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I can't save myself. Religion won't save me. Being a good person won't save me. Being successful in the eyes of the world won't save me. But Lord, I can't save myself, but I believe Jesus came and died. He was lifted up on the cross. He shed His blood for me, and I believe the gospel. Would you please forgive me of my sin and save my soul? Have you ever prayed to God like that? If you do, then first John chapter 1, verse 12 really is a great one for you to know. And I'd like to direct your attention to this passage, John 1, verse 12, as we conclude. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Three key terms there. To believe, to receive, and then become. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you believe on Him as the risen Son of God, you're confessing your sin, insufficiency to save yourself, but you're trusting Jesus, you're believing Him, then that's when you become a son of God. That's when you become a daughter of God. That's when you are born again. Somebody just doesn't wake up and be like, well, I was always born again. I was always a Christian. It can't happen. Physically, you have a birth date. Now, you may not remember the birth date you were born again. You may not know everything about the timing of when you trusted Christ for salvation, but you should know there was a time when I passed from death to life, when I was not believing, to a time when I was believing. Have you been born again? Oh, I hope so. Would you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? Robert McAmey attended a Christmas service in New York City and headed back to his one-room apartment back in 1932. As he walked the final blocks, he passed the private doors of private clubs and people partying with all their might. They didn't seem to have a clue that it was Christmas Eve. And if they did, they didn't seem to care. As he stepped over people who had passed out on the sidewalk, he thought to himself, what a strange way to celebrate the birth of the most perfect person who ever lived on this earth. These people are missing the whole significance of his life. When he finally arrived at home, he scribbled some more thoughts on the back of an envelope, and here's what he wrote. Sweet little Jesus boy, they made you be born in a manger. Sweet little holy child, didn't know who you was. Didn't know you'd come to save us, Lord, to take away our sins. Our eyes was blind. We couldn't see. We didn't know who you was. Friends, don't let Christmas pass you by without knowing the whole reason for this season. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross. He rose again. Would you be born again? Would you trust Christ? Please reach out to me this week if you'd like to be born again. And we'd love to talk with you about salvation through Christ. God bless you, and thank you so much for watching. Have a very Merry Christmas season.